Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast with Peter Higgins at Conquest3 and Pete Wheeler Dealer at Wheeler Dealer on Twitter. How are we doing, folks? Welcome back. How are you, Pete?
Yeah, good mate, you?
Not too bad. Now, I wanted to
Cool.
start, Pete, with our Mellow London experience in November, which was an absolute blast, where we did a live Twin Peaks podcast.
Yeah, that was a real fun thing to do. It was cool, wasn't it?
It was brilliant, mate. But if I'm allowed to, can I share the story of how that went from
Oh yeah, no, let's
beginning?
you can tell everyone how you had to come and find me, because I was supposed to have gone off to the toilet beforehand, and while I was there I sort of bumped into some people I knew and started chatting to them and forgot all about the TPI live thing we were supposed to be doing.
Yes,
So
which is interesting.
you had to come and track me down and drag me back to the room.
If anyone knows Peter Wheely, at any event, you will always see him surrounded by at least two to four to five to six to eight people. This is the standard practice. But when you've spoken to him 5 minutes beforehand, he said, "Pete, we need to get into this podcast now. The room's ready now." And then 10 minutes later, he's not to be found. You start to worry. So I left what was then already quite a full room to go and find Pete. And where did I find him? Near the bar slash restaurant area. Bear in mind, he didn't have an alcoholic drink with him, but he was in full conversation with at least four people. And I am saying, "Pete, we need to go. We need to start the podcast."
I'd totally forgotten all about it.
Absolutely hilarious, mate. I wasn't laughing at the time. I was a little bit like, "What are you doing?"
And then it's like the reality hits me that I've suddenly got to do this thing. And I realize that I've no idea where my coat is that's got all my notes in it.
Absolutely. So we get into the room. Granted, we're on the same floor that you're on, and you're in your chair, yeah. And we're traveling to the room. We get to the room, and lo and behold, even I'm shocked. The room is packed to the rafters
Oh, it's
with
jammed.
standing room only, yeah. And we can now not get Peter Wheeler Dealer into the room. Pete's in his wheelchair. There's a little bit room to the left. We're having to get everybody to get up and
Everyone's having to get up and move their chairs, and it was
squidge
just
in and
chaos.
get moved so that we can allow Pete to get in. Talk about health and safety gone mad. It just wasn't happening. And I think if David Streda had seen us with that room, he'd have gone, "No, there's too many people in here."
It had a fit.
But we managed it and we had a fantastic time. It was really,
Yeah, it
really
went
good. So
really well, and it was so nice, the response of people in the room and that, and the comments we had afterwards. Everyone just absolutely loved it, and it was, and I felt it went far too quick, and we didn't really get a chance to hardly say anything. That's how it felt, although I was completely stressed out and I had no idea what was going on.
The brilliant thing about it was people felt the same and they wanted us to have longer. So we're going to have conversations with David Streda and the Mellow Events team to see if we can get a bit of a longer sort of space
Yeah,
and
and the
maybe
next one, I'll actually be there before it starts and
and
stuff.
maybe even a bigger
And
room.
I'll have some notes prepared and ready. Yeah.
Maybe even a bigger room, but we had quite a few all-star visitors in the room there with us. We had at Donald Pond, we had Zach Mear, we had
Oh.
Michael at Shifting Shares, and we had quite a significant few people that we respect everybody, but there's a few people
Oh,
that
there
we
was
didn't think
loads of really excellent
would be
investors
coming
in
to
that
see
room.
us. So
Incredible.
we're very, very grateful, and we're really pleased and thankful for your feedback, and thank you for the continued support.
Too right, too right. I mean, the support we get is fantastic and it's much appreciated.
And with that, I'll probably say it now as well. We're
Yeah.
hoping to develop the Twin Peaks podcast in a bit more, and hopefully, with a few things that Pete and I have got in the pipeline, we can enhance what we're doing going forward. January, February, March time, we hope to have a few more things to give to you guys, and hopefully, the quality and the recognition of what we're doing will be enhanced as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I mean, a lot of it is I'm pretty sure that the more we do these things, the more we sort of figure out what we're doing, and we try to get, more material in them and more stocks. I know people like stocks, and so we try to get more stocks in them, and just, yeah, and just, try to, one of the big things that me and Pete believe in massively is this whole idea of keeping it real. It's like, we're just two normal blokes, you know. We're just two guys from normal backgrounds who, you know, just muck around with stocks a bit, and you know, hopefully we can sort of, you know, help everybody else in their similar journey, because they're just normal people trying to get on with what they do, you know.
Absolutely, mate. And this is the beauty of what you do, Pete, and what we do, in the sense of the amount of content that you put out via your Wheeler Dealer website. You know, it's absolutely immense. You know, and it should be applauded, really. I don't think enough people actually recognise the depth of learning that has been enriched via the site and via the tweets, and that's what we're trying to do. You know, so obviously there's some people that don't like some of the stuff that we do. Because it's not always in, you know, in theme or in rhyming with what they're doing. And, you know, if we see stuff that we don't like or we think is going to put other people in harm's way, we're going to challenge it. And, you know, that's what you guys and ladies should be doing as well. If you see something that's not quite right or you think that's a bit dodgy, you know, we're a community and we need to look out for each other. So if you see something and you
That's
like it,
yeah.
like it. If you see something and you don't like it, don't sit there quietly. Challenge it. Say something, because it means that you could be saving someone else their livelihood, you know, their hard work, worked and earned earnings, because some people are quite easily led. You know, I've been easily led in the past to certain stocks, and it's cost me
Oh,
a
we all have,
fortune.
haven't we? Yeah, I mean,
You know what I mean?
I think that's one thing that, you know, in the community, there's a real mix of, I mean, there's some incredibly talented investors, way better than I'll ever be, and some incredible traders, you know. And I mean, Pete is definitely one of them. But anyway, I mean, there's always people who are just so brilliant. And then there's like a sort of, you know, a big chunk of people in the middle who are good investors, and I'm probably more in that kind of group. But then we get a lot of people at the other end who are fairly new to the game, and they're inexperienced, or even they might have been around a while, but they haven't managed to really get it to crack. It hasn't gelled for them, you know. And I think there's a sort of responsibility on the rest of us to try and, you know, we all work together to try and we all improve, we all get better. And, you know, what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that, Pete, and that's part of the reason why I do the amount of mentoring and coaching that I do off grid, you know, via DMs with scores of people via Twitter. There's loads, and I was fortunate enough to be asked to meet up with one of them recently, and I met up with a friend of yours called Woody, and she
Oh
actually
yeah, Woody Sue, yeah, she's a good girl.
yeah she met me in Leicestershire, and she was absolutely ecstatic, and I'm like, well, this is just what I do. I don't do it for any sort of, you know, I didn't even want her to take a picture, or I didn't want her to talk about it. And I keep all the people that I mentor, you know, and speak to and support and help. I don't advise them, because I'm not allowed to do that. I'm not qualified to do that. I just help them and support them and try and educate them and inform them a bit more and help them to get better. Because I would have wished for that to happen to me when I was 1 year, 2 years in.
Oh, I
But
mean, yeah.
I don't talk about any of these people on Twitter. I don't say, oh, I'm helping that person help. That's not what it's about. You
I
know,
mean, that's,
part
I
of
mean, I'm the same. I mean, I in the, you know, I there's nothing that I like more than being invited to go down a pub on a Friday, and we'll have a few beers down a Friday and chat to some people, and it's a fantastic thing for me for learning, and it's fantastic for them, hopefully, that they learn off me as well. So, you know, and it's
I absolutely agree, Pete. But I'll make one caveat there. You don't need an excuse to go to the pub, Pete.
Hey, look, I try to have some sort of, like, you know, justification to try and excuse my behavior.
Life's for living, Pete. And I keep putting out this tweet. Life's for living.
Oh,
Live
how
your
good.
best. Live your best life.
Oh,
Yeah.
you say
You.
that, right?
This is not a dress rehearsal, folks.
Oh,
Don't spend all your time in front of the screen. Get out there and do some stuff that you've not done in 2020. Enjoy yourself. Live life to the max.
you say that. I mean, one of the things I'm just going to mention is that pretty much today, well, in fact, I think it was probably yesterday, is my 10-year anniversary of retiring. So that's like, wow, that blows me away, to be quite honest.
That is pretty darn good, mate. And
Yeah.
I'll give you a little clap there, mate.
Well,
Very good.
I'll give myself a clap, because I mean, what is astonishing is that those 10 years have just gone by like a bullet, and I honestly. It feels like literally like, you know, a few months ago, I was sat in an office working for Fujitsu, doing whatever I did. I mean, it just seems so, su such a recent thing, you know. And the thought that I've been away from that for 10 years, the thought that I've been doing Wheelie Dealer and the tweeting and the website and stuff for 5 years is like, well, that's just like nuts. How has that gone by so quick?
You have filled it with helping other people, Pete. You've filled it by building your website. You've filled it by learning. You've filled it by educating yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
You've filled it by supporting others. You know, and that's what retirement's meant to be about. You know, it's not just about vegging out in front of the TV with a remote control in your hand.
I think
doing stuff.
The big message, I think, is that I know there's a lot of people out there who are probably listening to our podcast now who are either just retired or they're coming up to retirement or they're not far off retirement, whatever. And I think the big thing I would say to people is don't delay it any longer than you have to, because life is too short. You know, you just don't know how many years you've got on the planet. And those every single day you live, the remaining days become marginally more valuable. And that's a big thing that Warren Buffett goes on about. And, it, you know, don't put it off. If you're in a position where you think you can retire, get and do it. Don't procrastinate, because it will be the biggest mistake you ever make.
Absolutely, absolutely agree, Pete. Absolutely. That's very
good. Have you talked about some stocks, mate?
Yeah, let's talk about some stocks, Pete. I think we've covered AstraZeneca.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about some of my winners.
That was in the last podcast we did, that wasn't it? AstraZeneca,
yeah. I want to talk about some of my winners. I think I'm going to be putting out another tweet tonight that's going to probably irritate a few people regarding the portfolio going to another new all-time high.
So that's probably one you put out on the 20th or the 12th then? Because we're recording this podcast on the 20th or the 12th, but it probably won't go out for a week or so.
Yeah, so on the 20th there'll be a new one going out, because AstraZeneca's gone up again today.
Yeah.
And obviously that's carrying the largest weight in my portfolio. But the one I put out yesterday was showing Future, which ticker symbol is FUTR. It was up 194% year to date. And I trimmed that for 1,692%. Burford, which I'd sold lock, stock and barrel after the August Muddy Waters bear raid. After trimming that previously, I'd taken a total return of 1,370% return on that. Checkit recently tendered that at 65 pence, having bought it for 9 pence. So I tendered that for 722%.
Whoa.
A tiny little POS stock that I traded X amount of months ago, ticker symbol TLA, now known as Ork King, sold that for a quick trade across a fortnight or even less than a week for 553%. ITM, which a lot of people, which I'm really pleased about, have not taken any
notice. That's the hydrogen one, isn't it?
It's the hydrogen one, mate.
Yeah. With
hybrid cars and electric vehicles and so on and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Essentially, my view is, and lots of people's view is that hydrogen is going to become and have a significant sort of percentage of cars going forward as a source of energy.
But it seems to have a lot of buses and lorries and things at the moment, doesn't
it? Starting with buses and the trucks and all the rest of it.
There's car, isn't there? There's a Toyota Mirai.
Mirai, that's the main one that's been pushing it out there. But that's been a frustrating stock, Pete. I've had for several years, and it's just up, it's down, it's up, it's down. But this year, I mean, at one stage, I think it was up 200% for me this year alone.
Brilliant.
Yesterday, it was up 182% year to date. I'm not sure what it's done thus far. A more recent buy, I think we spoke about on this Twitter, on this podcast before, Ixico AI.
Yeah, IXI,
imaging, digital, and also looking into all the stuff to do with all the pharmaceutical companies trying to fast track some of their research. That's up 166%. I think that's been up over 200% for me year to date.
Incredible.
And SDI, another imaging company, AI again.
Yeah.
I trimmed that for 135% yesterday because I thought it gotten a bit frothy. But yeah, there are others, Pete, that have.
The interesting connection with nearly all those stocks is a lot of those are tech stocks, aren't they? I know you like your tech stuff
and tech
and media, and you know it's obviously a good place to be. And I mean, those are just stunning gains; they're absolutely amazing.
Well, it is, but as I said to somebody else, it's not without its problems. You know, people say, "How do you manage to do 40 hours, 100 hours?"
Yeah, it's not easy.
it's not easy, and it's about we find a time to do anything that we want to do if we want to do it. Now, I'm not a DIY guy. Right. So I'm not going to be going into the loft doing this, that and the other. I'm not going to be knocking down a wall and rebuilding it. I'm not going to be rebuilding the engine of my car. That's not my bag. My nerdness is to do with reading and researching stocks. So I find the time when people are sleeping, I'm usually reading. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's what I do. And invariably, there are times when all that research means absolutely diddly squat because, you know, you will get it wrong. And when you
Well,
get it
yeah, I mean,
wrong,
there's times when loads of research means that you end up losing loads of money. I mean, that's the way it goes, you know?
absolutely, absolutely, which is what I found with the likes of ITV, which I got wrong, you know, ARC Minerals, which I got wrong, Thomas Cook, which I had a punt on, which I got completely wrong.
That's right. I mean, things will go wrong. I mean, I got completely caught this year in my hedging strategy where basically I hedged to such an extent that I hedged out any gains from my portfolio, which is like an absolute nightmare. But the you know, every single thing you do has a positive aspect. And my doing this hedging has sort of, well, first of all, it's made me realize that the only way to do it is by using stop losses. You know, you've got to have stop losses and you've got to obey them. But the other thing it's done is it's taught me a hell of a lot more about how the indexes move and how to read the indexes and about what signals work best and what signals don't work best. And as a result, I'm going to do a lot more with index trades in coming, you know, in 2020. I mean, I'm not going to be a day trader or anything stupid like that, but I'm going to have occasional long trades on S&P 500 or maybe on the FTSE 100 or whatever. And I'm just going to be doing a little bit more of that than I have in the past. And you know, we'll see how it goes. I'll do it fairly small at the start, but I think there's, you know, money to be made by position trading on indexes. But like I say, not day trading. I'm talking about putting a position on, letting it run for a couple of weeks or whatever.
But this goes back to the conversation we're having in the earlier podcast, Pete, about you, about me, about others that we're continually looking to learn stuff and to
Yeah, just
refine
keep learning.
and to improve. So
It's always something to learn.
you've had X amount of edges on across the year for a variety of different reasons at different times where the market's been doing and the market's been in a flux. And then you've come to this point of the year thinking, what have I learned from my whole year regarding this? You've learned this, that, and the other. So therefore, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try this next year. And you're refining all the time and learning more. You're not one of those stubborn individuals that going, I know everything and I'm fine. You know what I mean? And you
Well,
wait
yeah,
for the
that's
stock
it.
to fall 30, 40, 50% further to then go, I've sold it now. You know what I mean?
You can never know everything in this game. I mean,
No way.
it is so utterly complex. You know, there are so many different angles to everything. You know, I don't think there's anything more complex on the planet. You know, and I think that's probably why it's so fascinating for so many of us, that it is such an immense challenge.
Agreed, and one which we will never ever grasp fully.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, it
None of us
should
will.
keep us busy for quite a few, you know, quite a few days to come, shouldn't it? Trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
Absolutely, and this is the beauty of where the Buffetts and the Mungers of the world are. They're still learning, mate. You know, Bill Gates is reading a book a day. You
Was it
know,
90 years old and still learning?
absolutely, and this is what fascinates me. And you know, if I can be at 90 and still be impassioned so much about learning and giving back and showing other people kindness, then I think I've lived a full life.
Oh,
You know what I
God, you.
mean?
Oh, big time, big time. And you think how many, you know, that's a lot of compounding years, isn't it?
Absolutely,
I mean,
absolutely.
you know, your inheritors are going to be immensely wealthy.
Yes. There is a downside, isn't there, Pete? You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
well, what's it? Warren Buffett says, doesn't he? He's not going to give all his money to his kids, isn't he? He's only going to give us a lot's going to be given to charity and stuff.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people are thinking and considering that because the whole point is that, you know, you could actually impact that or those individuals' lives by giving them that cushion. They think they're invincible, and once people think they're invincible and they've got a cushion to fall back all the time, that makes some of them will make irresponsible decisions and do harm.
I bet there's some really unpleasant kids around who've got massively wealthy parents, you know, or the sons and daughters of rock stars. I bet they're right irritating little
Yeah, I'm sure there are a few. I'm sure there's a few
so-and-sos.
good. I'm sure there's a few good ones as well.
Oh.
Pete, we haven't spoken yet about your winners, mate. Tell us about some of your winners. How
Well,
they did, what they did, why they did it,
yeah,
please.
just funny ones, really. I mean, you know, one of the ones that stands in my mind is Pets at Home. Pets, PETS. I mean, it's just, you know, it's one of those that I bought. I always thought it was good. You know, I always liked the basic concept of a shop that sold all the stuff for pets, and it sold the animals themselves, and it had the groom room, so they could, dogs could have the haircut and stuff, and obviously the vet, the pets for vets, which is like the vet thing, and that's actually the biggest vet in the country, which is like quite mad. And I always thought it was good, and it, and I bought the shares, and then they sort of went for a really, really bad period where they were really struggling with internet competition. But then the management got changed and whatever, and they've really got a grip. I mean, the new management have really got a grip, and that is coming through in the results. And the share price has absolutely shot up this year. And the only thing that I can kick myself for a little bit is that I didn't buy more. I didn't average down. I mean, there was a fantastic opportunity to average down, and I didn't, which, with hindsight, is a bit stupid, really. But, it's worked out brilliant, and I'm nicely in profit. So, I've been picking up good dividends while I've been patient. And I think going forward, pets will still do all right,
I think you and I were talking about it when it was near its low £1 sort of stage at the beginning of the year, Pete. And the thing for me, and this is me raising my hand up and saying I called this completely wrong and I made a mistake, is the fact for me it was still in retail. I didn't see any sort of technological advances to the fact it's actually a vet shop and a pet shop and it's selling paraphernalia to do with pets.
I think it's the destination store aspect. It's that point that there's not many shops where you can take your dog to. So it's
Oh,
like,
no, I completely get it, Pete. But what I'm saying is, I get it now, but I completely missed it. I could have been purchasing that at £1, £1.05, £1.15, and I guarantee the way that it's going now, the trajectory it's on. Oh, sorry, I take that back. I won't guarantee it because I shouldn't guarantee
You
anything.
can't go to
The
anybody, do you?
likelihood is that you're going to be seeing it at £3 at some point during, 2020.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel it's a kind of stock that I can hold that for several years, and it's still paying a sort of, I don't know, what is it, 3% dividend or something. So it's still worth having the dividend. And I think there's a lot of potential for it to go a lot higher, because the thing is, it's been sort of hamstrung by inefficient, with the vets for pets. They haven't really made the most of vets for pets. There's so much more potential there. The groom rooms is still a fairly early thing, and they could do more with that. And I just think, going forward with it, with this new management are a bit more on the ball, getting the vets for pets sorted out, I think the potential's enormous. And and animals, as I mean, dogs and cats and that as a thing are growing, and it's incredible popular. Everybody has a flipping dog now, don't they? Or they have two dogs. I mean, that was the other thing. It's like when I was a kid, everyone had, people's parents had a dog or whatever. Nobody had two dogs. And now it's like everyone's got bloody two dogs, and soon it'll be everyone's got three dogs. You know what I mean?
It is amazing, and like you say, we're a nation of pets. We love our pets
We
in the UK.
love them. We love them. We're mad for them.
So and we forget, and this is a difficult time of year for people as well. It being Christmas, it's companionship. A cat, a pet. Sorry,
Absolutely.
cat, a dog. Even a toy toys. You know what I mean? People want a pet. So you're absolutely spot on, mate. And I missed the trick there. So kudos to yourself, mate. I did not see that rallying as it did throughout the course of the year, and it's been relentless,
So it brings back another sort of concept with retail. Obviously, there's been this real trend to online shopping, And I think I can't quite remember the numbers, but it's something like 18% of all retail shopping is now done online. But what's noticeable is that the growth in online shopping seems to be stalling around that sort of 18% level, which is interesting because I think for years myself personally, I probably thought it was going to go to 50%. I sort of thought, well, why would anyone go to the shops when you can just order it easily and it's just delivered to your door? But the weird thing is that people seem to still like going to shops. So,
I'm gonna say something there that might get me in trouble. The
go on.
larger number of people that enjoy going to the shops are of a different gender to you and I, Pete.
What they're like worms or something?
No, they're females,
Oh,
mate. They're
no, okay,
females.
yeah, I'm with you, yeah.
I'm no fan of shopping, mate. I go there reluctantly. I very rarely go with my wife. I've had people saying, "Oh, I'm being dragged to shop again. I'm being dragged to shop. I've got to do some Christmas shopping for her." And I'm saying, "Well, so have I, mate. And I'll be doing the bulk of mine in the next few days." But I have to go physically to the shop, Pete. I can't go and buy something online if I'm buying it for my mini boss or my main boss. I've got to physically go and see it, touch it, and see the quality of it. I don't trust buying presents online. I can buy other things online, of course, especially books. I buy most, 90% of my books online. But presents, I don't know. I
I
need to
think
see them.
there's certain things in it, like you buy a box of, I own shares in Hotel Chocolate, HOTC. You feel happy buying a box of chocolates off of there, because box of chocolates is a box of chocolates. You can see them, on your screen you can enlarge the image, you can get a good look at what you're seeing, but you've got a fairly good idea of what it is. But I'm like you with clothing and stuff. It's like I really don't like buying it online. I do occasionally buy like a pair of jeans online or something, but 9 times out of 10 I want to go there and feel it and stuff.
I'm the same. I'm the same. So
And
that's why.
same with like cars. People they say about cars being bought solely online, but I would never buy a car without having have a damn good look at it first. Even a brand new car, you want to see it, don't you? Do you know what I mean? Because when you actually, and the colours as well, it's like until you've actually seen the colours in the real world, you may not like it.
Agreed. Agreed, mate. So that's probably why it's stalling at that percentage. And the fact that we've still got a large, well, I say a large, a significant percentage of people that don't have internet access, Pete, still.
Well, yeah. Well, they don't have fast and reliable access.
Absolutely.
See, that'll serve them right.
Poor
If they'd have voted
access,
Corbyn, they'd have
broadband.
got it.
Yeah, absolutely. The rural communities are still struggling to get broadband, Pete. That last 2 miles or whatever it is, there's lots of large rural communities that are having to find other means of trying to get onto the internet.
Yeah.
So, and
There
I
was
know one of Boris's pledges, we're not going to get Corbyn broadband, so thank heavens for that. So,
Cord band, mate.
or Norband, yeah, bin band.
Bin band. One something I noticed today. So we're recording this on the 20th of the 12th, 2019. So it's a Friday. One thing I noticed this morning was London Metric Property, LMP. They sold four, something like four, big box urban warehouses. And they were ones that were rented to DFS and to Carphone, Dixons, Warehouse, wherever it is. And the interesting thing was, they said they were selling out of those big box things to do more in what they called urban logistics. So I think they mean the sort of last mile and stuff, the smaller distribution hubs that are nearer that. Yeah, I thought it was quite an interesting development.
Well, it is. I mean, the thing is, we've still got a problem. All these e-commerce retail places, entities that are selling stuff, they come from the main hubs. They've still got to get into the city, So from the city,
Yeah.
they then get sold and pushed out accordingly to these different locations. So you're going to still need, urban,
Smaller, yeah, smaller
smaller
place.
little
Yeah.
hubs for them to be then sent out again. So
Yeah.
it's probably a very, very shrewd move, Pete. And the percentage that they're going to be getting and the yield they're going to be getting on the inner city urban sort of rentals could be quite high, I would have thought.
Well, it was interesting that they sold those four big box properties at very good returns. I think they made good profits on nearly all of them. On what, and they'd only bought them a couple of years ago. A lot of them they'd only had for like 2 or 3 years. But yeah, so I mean, have you come across any other companies that are doing anything that's more sort of last mile and in the urban? It's
I
like,
haven't, to be honest,
no, I
Pete.
haven't really. I haven't.
I have been watching the big box ones, the Tritax of the world and the
Yeah.
Euroboxes of the world,
B box, B
but I've
box.
not really. The other ones that I've been doing internal, but not been selling stuff on or moving stuff on, but storing them, are the likes of Big Yellow, Safestore, and so on and so forth. But what the bits that you're talking about there, I've not really seen a lot going in that. It might be the new place that they've recognized is going to be a higher yielding sort of prospects for them going forward. So maybe
Yeah.
they're onto something, mate.
I think it's is it Segro?
Segro,
SGRO. I think they might do some stuff in sort of last mile, but they've probably got the big boxes as well because they're
as
pretty
well
big
as, yeah.
player. They're a big player, aren't they? Funny,
Yeah.
funny enough, you're talking about the storage warehouse places. One that I've got on my list of really frustrating ones that I missed was Lok and Stor, LOK.
Oh, yeah.
I kept sending out tweets and writing in my blogs that I was really interested in LOK, and I never bought it. What a pillock. Can't believe it. Can't
No,
believe I didn't buy it.
it was sitting at sub £4, mate, this time
Shut
last
up.
year.
Don't tell me that now.
Dare I say what it is now? £7. That's what it is now, mate.
Do you know, I think to a large extent, and it's back to investor psychology, I think the reality is there are going to be loads of ones like this that we miss. It's just a fact of life. And I think, in a way, you've just got to shrug your shoulders and say, oh, well, you know, other people got the benefit. So what? You know, it's the way it goes. It's one of those things, isn't it?
It has to be, Pete, because invariably, you and I, you know, psychologically, we've set ourselves, you know what, I am not going to go beyond X number of shares in my portfolio,
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
There are people on Twitter that we
I
know
think I've
that.
got about 500. I
There
won't
are
go over
people
500.
on Twitter we know that have got half a dozen. Some people got eight. Some people got 12. You
Oh,
know what I mean? I think.
I really don't know how people sleep with like that number of stocks. I know loads of people just got one stock, and that to me is just bonkers.
Well, it is bonkers, but you know, this is the psychology of, you know, you've got the resolve to do that, then fine. I've preached to everybody that they should not be wedded to one stock. I am wedded to one stock. You know what I mean? My portfolio is oversized with AstraZeneca. It should not be that way, but that's just the way that it's happened, you know, and I'm not in a rush to sell
Yeah,
it just
there's a bit
yet.
of a difference between being wedded to a stock like AstraZeneca and wedded to a stock that's basically an AIM junk share.
Well, yeah, there's a big difference,
Bit of a
but
slight
what
difference.
I'm saying is, if you're struggling psychologically to deal with the movements of the markets when they're not going the way that we want it to, yeah, these people that went all cash, yeah, and then went all into stocks and equities again on the 13th of December, it tells me that something's not quite right with how you've built your psychology. Yeah, there are stocks there that which you've had to pay another 3, 4, 5, 10% more for on the 13th that you sold back in February, March, April, May, July, August.
Oh, I mean the dealing fees and the spread fees. I mean, yeah, it's
you can keep a core number of stocks.
It can be effective.
And then play around those sort of stocks and have some stocks that you can think, you know, I'm going to hold these for a long term. There are people that trade, so that's a whole different ball of wax.
Yeah.
You know, but you've got to build your psychology and learn that the markets isn't going to go one way or the other way. And the greatest amount of wealth has been built by staying in the market long term. It's not about time in the market. It's about time in the market.
Yeah, not about time in the market. It's about time in it. Yeah,
absolutely.
Totally get
Absolutely.
That.
Right, Pete. So let me talk about a couple of duds that I've had this year.
Yeah, yeah.
It's important for people to reflect on the reasons why some of these things that we research and don't go to plan and don't go the way that we want them. It's not always a case of our research. Sometimes it's the market. Sometimes it's our research. Sometimes it's just the way things are going.
Stuff will go wrong. Stuff will go wrong.
Absolutely. So, and this is a dud because I sold it at the very bottom of the market. I have held and had held for some significant time, collecting the dividends, buying and selling and topping and increasing and reducing for a number of years, ITV. Yeah. This year, I just thought, you know what? I'm done. This is a perennial takeover situation. They're always talking about taking it over. They're always talking about streaming's going to be the next big thing. You know, they're talking about BritBox and all the rest of it. And I said, you know what? I've got Future, right? I've got FUTR, and it's absolutely knocking the doors off everything else I've
storming
got.
Storming away, yeah.
Yeah, storming away. It's up 30, 40% already. It's up 50%. It's a stupid amount. And I've had it in my portfolio. And in the same sort of period of time, I'd held, just a bit less, ITV. ITV had done nothing. This was up already 12, 13, 1400%. I'm thinking, why am I still holding ITV for a 5% yield? Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I sell it at the low £1, £1.5, 7p, whatever it was. I haven't got the details in front of me. Since then, and I have to just quickly go and find it now, I think it's gone up something like 50%.
Yeah, try not to
Right.
cry because you won't be able to see the chart properly.
So it's gone up. Yeah, I think it's been as high as, let me just have a look here now. 154. Yeah.
Oh,
So that's a 50% move on it, Pete. So of
it's gonna
course,
happen, mate. It's
so
gonna
the
happen.
timing of that was the worst it could be. Yeah. And there's another stock I'm looking at the minute. I'm thinking, you know what? I'm done with this stock. At some point or other in the next 2 weeks or the new year, I'm just going to cut it, take the hit, and move on.
I guess the thing with ITV is it's easy with hindsight to look back and say, oh yeah, I sold it at the bottom. But at that point in time, with the information you knew then, and with how well Future was doing, and with how ITV sat in your portfolio, it sounds a pretty reasonable a decision to have made at that time.
Well, I thought it was, but
And I think that's how, I think, again, it's a case of shrug your shoulders. Yeah, it could have worked out better, but it is what it is. Move on. In a way, looking back is only of a sort of limited value, really, I think, to a point.
absolutely. But I think
And you
also
can
the
get depressed as well. It's like you keep looking back. It's like, oh God, I did this wrong. Oh God, I did that wrong. Oh, I did this wrong. And you end up just getting yourself fed up and you think, why do I do this? Because I just get everything wrong. And that's not really going to help either, is it?
It's not going to help, but I think the part of it is, and I need to reiterate this to everybody, is that whomever it is that you're listening to, following on Twitter, or you're sharing information with, they, you, me, Pete, everybody else will get something wrong.
Oh,
Yeah,
absolutely. It's guaranteed.
it's guaranteed.
It's
So
about
it's
one of the only certainties in the stock market is that if you have a portfolio of stocks, a load of them will go wrong.
absolutely. So just be mindful that no matter what someone else does, it doesn't mean that you have to follow them. Doesn't matter what somebody preaches about regarding a stock, doesn't mean you have to follow them. You have to go away and do your own research.
You
Yeah.
hitting someone there, mate. Well,
No, I'm just
it's like
doing
a
it.
slap it. It's like a slapping noise,
I'm
like
just
you're
trying to
bashing.
reiterate it because the beauty of it is there were people buying when I was selling. Yeah. And they've made 50%, and I say congratulations to them. When someone does well on Twitter, say congratulations to them. When someone's doing bad on Twitter, don't be going out having a pop at them to call them an idiot. Because bear with me, the karma will come back and bite you right in the butt
Oh,
if you're
too
not
right.
able to do and show kindness to others. Believe you me.
Too right, it will. And I mean, it's interesting. You held an interesting point there. Like when ITV was down at £1, right? And you sort of weighed it all up and you made the decision, I'm going to sell it. On the other side of your sell, there is a buyer.
Of
And as you
course.
say, the buyers came in thinking, do you know what? People have oversold this stock, they've overreacted to this stock.
Absolutely.
I'm going to buy some because I think it can make a nice upside. And they've done well. And I think it's quite often when we buy a stock or when we sell a stock, we're sort of assuming that the other side is stupid and we're the clever one. By definition, you are really.
By
And
definition, of course we are. We know every time you're buying a stock, you're thinking, I've got a bargain here.
and I think it's humbling sometimes that we've got to think to ourselves, hang on. I'm able to buy this stock at this price. What am I missing?
Yes.
What is the negative? And we touched on it earlier. I'm not being funny. I'm very happy for people to criticize my stocks all day. I absolutely love it. In many ways, I'd rather people criticize my stocks than praise my stocks because I can praise my stocks myself. I can do that easy. I want people to point out where the problems are so I know what to look for and what I might have missed. I mean,
Absolutely.
one that there's a guy on Twitter, I think his handle is it's at GUD, so it's good to be heard, if you see what I mean. So it's
Right, okay.
GUD, and then the number two, so good to be and then heard, so HEARD. And I've been talking about what's it called? Hypnosis.
Hypnosis, the
Hypnosis.
song rights people, yeah.
Yeah, hypnosis songs. So it's SONG is the epic, and they buy catalogs of pop and rock songs, mainly pop songs, and they get the rights to them. And I mean, they've been buying some incredible catalogs in recent weeks and days. I mean, today they bought one. It's got like, who's that bloke? Justin Bieber. I think he's quite famous, isn't he? And
I think so. Yeah,
Camila
yeah.
Cabello and Justin Timberlake and Sam Smith and massive, really big artists at the moment. And with all this streaming and stuff, this is a really hot area to get in, and I really fancy some song shares. And my mate, good to be heard, he pointed out that there's an issue with C shares on there. And if he hadn't said that, I wouldn't have known. So I'm really pleased that he's highlighted that issue. So when I, if and when I get round to seriously thinking about Song and I'm in a position to buy some, I'll be looking into that C shares issue and trying to understand what it really means.
And this is the importance of having a community, Pete, you know, having people there.
We can all help
to
one
actually,
another.
To actually just give, either give you a nudge to say, have you looked at this? Have you considered that?
Exactly.
You know, and I think this is something that's lost on some people. When somebody raises a point on Twitter and says something, they're not critiquing you. They're not saying and pointing out that you're flawed with your assessment. They're saying, actually, I found something else here. Have you considered this?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Do not take everything that everyone says personal. It's not, the world doesn't revolve around you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think it's that other thing about experience. I think, yeah, I think there's a lot of, you know, how long have you been doing this, Pete, roughly?
I'm in my 27th year, Pete, from picking up the
27
first,
years. And he's such a young man.
From
such
picking
a young
up my
man.
First FTP.
Wow. Yeah. Incredible. I mean, I've been doing it 20 years plus or whatever. So, you know, a lot of experience. And, yeah, I still get people who've been trading shares for like 2 years telling me I'm talking rubbish.
Yeah.
And I just think, you what? You know, and I think, you know, people need to be a little bit more realistic about things. You know, someone who's got 20 years in the market has seen a lot of things.
Yep.
And you know, to just poo-poo that and say, oh, you're talking nonsense, well, you're going to end up with a situation like on bids, where I pointed out that bids looked very suspicious to me.
Are you going there, Pete? Are you going there?
Oh, mate. Yeah, well, I'm not going to go there. But anyway.
No. Please do, mate. Crack on.
No, but it's just this general point that, you know, certain types of stocks, you know, loss-making, junky AIM stocks that get ramped to the roof by the rampers. And people jump on them and they're like, oh, yeah, it's the best thing since whatever. They put all their money in it. And it's just bonkers, really, isn't it? And then if I point out that it might not be quite what they think it is, the amount of grief I get.
We've both been there. We've been there all year. I think part of it, Pete, is the fact that, unfortunately, and I know we're running out of time on this particular podcast, we'll have to come back to it again.
Yeah, yeah.
There are cohorts, and I say cohorts, plural, because there's more than one. There's several cohorts of people and particular entities that are paid to promote, regardless of quality, right? So if you, Pete, are saying this is a complete load of BS about bids, and I'm saying this is a complete load of BS about Metro, they're going to be all over you, mate. They're going to be all over me, as they have done. Yeah, and I'm getting
that's
DMs,
exactly what happens.
And
exactly
I'm getting people having a pop here and a pop there and saying all kinds of different things. And it's just the fact of your experience and my experience that we can see some of these things. And it goes back to what I was saying before. If you see something, please don't necessarily have a pop at these people, but at least raise and challenge and ask them a question about the quality of what they're talking about. Because if you don't do it, somebody that you know is going to lose money. And at some point or other, someone's going to see something that you haven't seen and it's going to cost you to lose money because they have not mentioned it to you or other people.
Well, yeah, what goes around comes around. Exactly that, mate. The karma gets you in the end, doesn't it?
It does. And unfortunately, with the bid situation, it's not, and the Metro situation, it's not just two isolated incidents, Pete. We've seen it with scores of stocks
time and time again.
I'm not going to name any of them right now, right? There's been X amount of stocks delisted that were ramped to the to the moon and back during the past 18 months to a year. They're no longer with us. The people that invested 2 grand, 500 quid, 10 grand, 100 grand are going to get diddly squat now. Yeah, and that to me is completely unfair of those people that are out there ramping POS stocks. If anyone doesn't know what POS stock means, I'm going to say this because it's Christmas. It means a pile of shit stock.
Yeah, exactly.
Just be careful of all the noise you see around these stocks. Do a little search on Twitter, see how many people are talking about this stock and the frequency of how they're talking about this stock and the number of people that are the same people talking about this stock day in, day out. That is a clear indication that this stock potentially is not quite what you might think it is. If it needs to be ramped, it's probably not great.
Yeah, there's not a lot going for it if you need to ramp it. I mean, the kind of stocks I buy, I sort of like mention them a few times, and if they go up, they go up. If they go down, they go down. But I'm certainly not going to go ramping something just for the sake of it.
This is
That's
part of
it,
the reason,
waste
Pete,
time.
that you might have noticed with some of going back to what we said in the last podcast. I'll buy something and I'll say nothing about it for 2 or 3 months. And then I'll put out the contract note and say, yeah, I bought that a while back. I don't want anyone to know anything about it. I don't want anyone to do anything about that stock or push it or whatever. I want it to get there on its own steam and on its own merits and from the trading update being good, bad, or indifferent. And if it's not, I'm going to say, you know what, I bought this and it turned out to be a POS and I've sold it now.
Yeah, I was just thinking for anyone who's sort of like new to investing and whatever, and a bit sort of like, oh my God, what do I do? How do I avoid these? If you go on my website and look for the wheelie bin page, there's a list there of sort of things to look out for and the kind of stocks that tend to be a problem. So have a look at that on the wheelie bin page. That'll help you.
Cool. Pete, we're 46 minutes in, mate.
Yeah, we ought to knock
We
on the end
need
there,
to finish
mate.
on a positive point. I would like to ask you, if I may, to give me one stock that you're keeping an eye on that either you've bought already, yeah, or you're thinking could do well in 2020 and why?
Yeah, I mean, I think the obvious one I've got to go for is Clinigen, Clin. It's one I've actually mentioned on a podcast before, but I bought more of it this week. It seems to have, it was in a sort of like little triangle pattern over, a few months or whatever. And it's broken to the upside and been pushing up. And I bought a load more yesterday or the day before. And this used to be Quantum Pharma, or rather, Quantum Pharma is one of its divisions. So it's got three
Yes.
divisions. One of them is what used to be Quantum Pharma. So I was in Quantum Pharma, and that didn't work out particularly well. And then Clinigen bought them, which was a bit of a result. And since that, I haven't really done anything with Clinigen. I've just left my position as it was and watched what's happened. And I've been very impressed by what I've seen over the last couple of years or whatever it is. And I could see the shares were starting to move up, and I thought, well, I'm going to have some more, And it looks pretty good value because it's on a forward PE of around 12 or so, I think. And the dividend's not much. I mean, dividend's a waste of time. It's like 0.7%. But it's really a growth company. It's looking to grow. And it's got two other divisions. One is a bit like Alliance Pharma, APH, or Venture Life Group, VLG, where basically this division buys sort of like little pharmaceuticals and stuff that the big boys have. So someone like Glaxo
Right.
has these little drugs or little medicines that are just so small and subscale for them. They're just not interested in it really. So they sell it off to the likes of Clinigen, and then Clinigen will focus on it and make something good out of it. The other division is they supply when you have clinical trials. So you have a clinical trial that's to test a particular drug, yeah. Quite often, they need other drugs and other things to enable the trials to take place. And Clinigen provide those other things to clinical trials. That's another division they've got. So I think it's a nice little company. And I just think healthcare is a fantastic place to be, as we've discussed many a time.
Cool. No, that's good to have that, mate. I think you've done quite well with finding your clinical sort of stocks in the past,
Yeah, I'm quite
regarding the
pleased.
research
Yeah.
you've done of them.
Fingers crossed it should go all right.
Okay, I'm going to quickly mention the one I mentioned back in the early part of this year at Mellow. I think it was in May. I think it was May's Mellow, wasn't it? Sorry, the middle of May. Should
Yeah.
say May was in May. That's a Friday afternoon brain lapse there for you. Is Reach PLC, which is
God, that's an unusual one, yeah.
yeah. So again, I'm going on the digital sort of AI sort of ad tech sort of viewpoint here. It's
Yeah.
the UK's largest news publisher, Pete, reaching more than 45 million people. So it publishes the Daily Mirror, Sunday People, and other magazines. And for me, they're essentially heavily indebted, but they've got the brands and the reach which very few other people have. You know what I mean?
Is
Daily
that
Express, the app.
RCH? Is it
Yeah,
RCH? Yeah,
RCH
okay.
is the
Yeah.
ticker. You've
That's
got
it.
Manchester Evening News, you've got Daily Record, Wales Online, Birmingham Online. You know what I mean? the Chronicles, not every single part of the country you think they could have, they're involved in.
Yeah, they got
And
the brand, yeah.
they're up the brand. It used to be Trinity Mirror. We've spoken to them about it before. And they're consolidating their brands. Yeah, they're adding and increasing the marketing spend. They're reducing their print spend. And things are moving towards a digital sort of leaning
Yeah,
towards that.
yeah.
So for me, the margins will slowly and incrementally increase. Yeah, so that way, going forward, the cost reduced, profits increased,
Yeah.
ad tech improves, marketing improves, profits increase. Hopefully, they'll do and carry on this transition, and they've got solutions. So essentially, they've got a solutions element where they're dealing with and providing solutions for marketeers.
Yeah.
That to me is a big margin business that they're looking to grow and get better at. So I purchased that just over 75 pence, and yesterday, and that was the 1st of May, I purchased that, and
Yeah.
yesterday it was up at I think it's 125. So
Ah,
that's
steaming along, isn't it?
it's done quite well.
Going
But I think
well.
what's happened is, so it's up 67% in under, I don't know what that is. What's that? Seven months.
Of course, that's been caught in the Boris bounce as well, isn't it?
Well, it has, but I think part of that isn't to do with the Boris bounce. I think it's more to do with people are catching on to the fact that this is a digital media company. Yeah, the bulk of their money going forward is going to be digital from the digital sort of revenue stream, and not bulk selling, having to transport logistic hubs and blah blah blah. So if it continues in that vein, I can see it doing quite well. And Pete, it's paying a dividend.
What's the sort of PE on it then?
The P at the moment, I think it's under 9 last time I looked. You
Because
look at
if I remember right,
8.5 PE yielding 5% and up, since May, 67%. I'm happy with that.
is that the historic PE?
Yes.
So a forward PE could be quite a bit lower than that. So
It
yeah,
could
I mean
be.
that. And I think, I mean, I'm pretty sure I can remember it being on a PE of 2. I'm pretty sure, or something stupid like that. Really crazy, the kind of PE where you think, well, this is going to go bust. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
It was so low,
you make a great point there. It was sitting there in the
so beat
market,
up.
Pete, with a view to people think they're done. You know what I mean? This is it. They're finished. So that's how people were viewing it. Last January when it was sitting there at
And the thing
55p.
is, as it moves to a digital strategy, and if it delivers the profits,
If it delivers.
the debt becomes less of a problem.
Yes.
So yeah, no, I get that. I mean, I think, there's risk around it, obviously. I mean, there's risk around everything, but
Definitely,
I
yeah.
get it. I get it. It makes sense.
It's all about execution, mate. And I could be having a conversation with you in 3 months' time going, uh-oh, caught
Yeah.
this one completely wrong.
Mate, I'm
But
sure you
I've
won't.
done my research, I've put the time in, I keep researching what they're doing, I keep getting in touch with what they're up to. If it carries on running, I will carry on running with it. If it doesn't, then I'll cut it. You know what I
Yeah,
mean? That's
makes
just and
sense.
that's the way we've got to be. We've not got to hold on to stocks when they're in decline. If something goes to £40 and it's now sitting at £20, have a word and think, is it going to go back to £40? Should I stick with it? Because sometimes they do. Sometimes they do rebound, but sometimes they don't.
Yeah, it's a fine line. I mean, I have a continual battle about whether I should hold a stock after it's got a problem or whether I should sell it, and the jury's out in my mind. I see pros and cons of both approaches, really.
Absolutely. Now we're in 53 minutes, Pete. I want to wrap this one up and
Yeah, we
wish
better close it
everybody.
there, mate. Better close it.
Wish everybody an absolutely phenomenal Christmas and a happy new year. Spend as much time as you possibly can with your friends, family, and loved ones. And if you can, do anything possible to the others out there that you don't even know to show a little bit of love and care and support, or even make a donation to a local charity, please, 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 please do so, because it's a terrible time of year for so many people. And regardless of who you think is okay, whether they're wealthy or otherwise, or dirt poor, there are people out there that are really, really lonely. So just put an arm
Oh yeah,
around
it's
and give a bit of love
lot of that
to
around.
as many people as you possibly can, and just show a bit of love and do it unconditionally. There's nothing wrong with paying it forward and showing some kindness, because that's what makes the world go round, a little bit of kindness.
If we end up putting this out and Christmas has happened, then have a happy new year. But yeah, thanks for all your support for all the time, and in 2020 we'll try to bring you a lot of good stuff.
Absolutely, we will. Okay.
See you later.
See you later, folks. Take care. God bless. Have a
Bye.
rocking Christmas Eve party, New Year's Eve party, and see you in 2020. Take care. God bless.
Cheers.
Bye for now. Bye, Pete.
See ya.